Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to the book of James, chapter 1. Let me read to you a few scriptures before we get to the book of James, chapter 1. The first one is found in Hebrews, chapter 1. And it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, for whom also he made the worlds. Who made the worlds? The Lord, Jesus, God the Son. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The only way we can get into heaven is through the working of Jesus Christ. For he has purged us of our sins. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to be reading at verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. How are our sins cleansed? By the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Not by anything you've done, but by what he has done. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousnesses. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Let me read one more verse before we get to the one that we're going to be reading from James chapter 1. It's found in the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 14. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquities and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, that he might redeem us. Shall we stand as we read from the book of James chapter 1? James chapter 1, we'll begin at verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying your faith worketh patience. And now over to verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. But a doer of the work. Let me remind you that our Savior Jesus Christ did not save us solely that we may go to heaven, but that we should glorify the Heavenly Father by our good works. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation that you offer. And Lord, we know that you are long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation. Lord, now we pray that your will be done in this morning time. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. As we read there in James chapter 1, it said that we are to be a doer of the work. If you would, chapter 2, James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at verse 18. James 2, 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? We need to have a vibrant faith today. James chapter 3, verse 13. James 3, 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. A good conversation, his lifestyle, his habits, showing out his works for the cause of the Lord. Last week, you may remember, we taught from the book of James chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. And we talked about those who have bitter envying and strife in their hearts. Bitter envying and strife. In verse 15, it says that this wisdom is earthly, sensual, devilish. Those that are full of bitterness and envying and strife. It takes their ability to be a Christian testimony and ruins it. Because if their life is full of bitterness, their eyes are not on the Lord. They're on a certain thing that has happened in their life. If it's full of envying, they have taken their eyes off the Lord and put it on an object. If it's full of strife, it's because they can't have what they want, and they've taken their eyes off the Lord and put it on some object. Verse 16 says, where envying and strife is, there is confusion, and every good work. So in your mind, realize this, there is the works for our Lord, and then there are the works for the evil one. And the question is, what are our works today? Every one of us is an example to people. Do you agree with that? Every one of us. Every one of us is an example. People are watching you. Are you full of bitterness? Full of envy, full of strife? Have you noticed that it's hard to show your expressions to people with your mask on? I heard someone, I may have been today, that said they were smiling under their mask. Was that today? Did someone say that? Maybe I saw it yesterday, heard it yesterday. But the fact of the matter is, it's hard for people to see you smile with your mask on. But can I ask you a question? Because someone is smiling at you, does that mean they really like you? No. What does the Lord look at, the outside or the inside? He sees the inside, doesn't he? He sees who you really are. So how are our works today? Good works? Motivated by our love for the Lord? Or are works motivated by bitterness? Anger, jealousy, envying, and strife. James here is talking about those things to these people. I mentioned last week that too many young adults are being led astray by worldly thinking, not believing the truth of the Scriptures, because it takes strength of character to remain strong in the faith. It's easy to drift away from church. It's easy to drift away from the teachings of the Word of God. In fact, within 3 weeks, if you drifted away, it's hard to get you back. It's easy. Your children, your grandchildren need to see in your life and walk a loving, caring, compassionate faith. Do they see that? Not bitterness, not envy, not strife, not deceit. Chapter 4. That was all the introduction. This is the sermon. Chapter 4, the book of James, beginning at verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that ye may be consumed, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? And whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. James, the half-brother of Jesus, is writing this epistle to Jewish believers. According to the verse we read earlier, verse 1 of chapter 1, it's to the 12 tribes which were scattered abroad. Here in chapter 4, he is rebuking the worldliness that has crept into their lives. Can I say this, that there is a spiritual war that wages in our daily lives? Every day. Can I say this, that it's happening right now in this room? Right now. Some of you are battling right now. Some of you, if you could, you would leave as quickly as you came in, but you won't, because either one, you're superstitious and you think, if I leave, God will strike me down in the parking lot, or he'd make me trip. But some of you right now are battling with some very serious things. Bitterness, envying, and what was that third one I said? Strife. Right now. Some of you are battling with it. Now, you hide it very well. You know how I know you're hiding it? Because I've hid it. Yeah, I'm just like you. I know, you've never been bitter. But some of you right now, you're battling something. You know what it is. As soon as I said it, you knew what it was. And you're trying to push it back. And you're trying to control it. But there's a battle going on right now. That's why it's very important when we're in church that we are attentive so that other people aren't distracted, because some people want to be distracted. They don't want to hear the word of God. They would rather count the knots in the ceiling. And some of you can tell us how many knots are up there. Yeah. But there is a battle that's going on. It's a spiritual battle. Wars. Do we live in a world that has wars? Absolutely. These are some wars that have taken place, and you can find them in some history books. How about the War of the Whiskers? That was the name of a war. How about this one, the War of the Oaken Bucket? Yes. How about this, War of Jenkins' Ear? I pondered that one. I wonder if Jenkins cut off an ear, or someone cut one of his ears off. These were actual battles between nations. How many of you are old enough? Now, I'm 66, cruising in on 67. 67 in very few days. Dr. Mark, our birthday's really close. 9 more days, buddy. But if you're 66 and you got your driver's license back in about 1970, there were gas wars. Gas wars, and gas was 19.9 cents a gallon. Can you imagine 19.9 cents a gallon? Now, yesterday at Kroger's, I paid $1.19 for Donna's gas. But, you know, sometimes at Kroger, you can get those reduced rates, and so I had $1.19 per gallon. But wars that go on. War is a fact of life in spite of treaties and world peace organizations and the threat of nuclear armament. There are still wars that are being either going on or being threatened right now. In the epistle, James writes about wars with each other. Class wars. The wars between the rich and the poor. People that are rich think they're better because they have money. Does that make someone better? Not at all. We find that there's employment wars between the boss and the workers. We find there are church wars. We find there are personal wars. And here in verses 1 through 8, we see the wars between ourselves, wars with the devil, and even wars with God. Some of you are at battle with God right now. Can I tell you somebody that was in a battle with God? You know his name. He was the son of Adam and Eve. Which one was he? Cain. Cain was at battle with God. Cain said, I want to do it this way. And God said, don't do it that way. Do it the way I want. And Cain said, no. He was doing battle with God. Verse 1 says, even of your own lusts that war in your members. The battle of good and evil. You think there's a battle going on right now in your hearts and lives between good and evil? Yes. How often do we justify our covetousness? How often do we justify our nasty ways? How often do we justify our lewd dress, our behaviors, our actions? And we tell God, you're not going to tell me what to do. We are at war with God. Verse 2 says, ye lust. You know, there are a lot of times that people say, oh, I love him. I love her. They're using the wrong word, aren't they? They should say, I lust them. Love is different than lust. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have. Not a physical murder, but the killing of your spiritual nature. In verse 5, it says, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to what? To envy. It lusteth to envy. It wants. It wants. And sometimes it wants what we shouldn't have. Are the casinos still closed?
No.
Oh, they're open again? Okay, that ruins what I was just going to say, but I'm going to say it anyways in a different way. Have you ever walked by in the grocery store, the lottery? What are they called? Lottery machines? I told the church a while back, I walked up to a man who was about to put money in. I said, don't do that. Now, can you believe I'd say that? I said, don't do that. Give me the money. I said, I'll be happy. You won't be happy. You lost it. Didn't that seem like a logical thing? Because most people do what in the lottery? They lose. Why do you think they can offer so much money? But why do people put their credit card in there and bet? Is it because they just are going to take that money and give it to you and me? No, they want money, don't they? You know, we had a church member. He told me this. He said he won the lottery, $250,000. That sounds like a lot of money, doesn't it? $250,000. He said the best thing I did was to pay off my mother's mortgage. Said he bought himself a car. He said he spent the rest of it trying to win the lottery again. Yeah, trying to win again. I said, did you? He said, I lost every penny. Lost every penny. You know, the fact is that we lust for certain things and it takes us in directions that we should not go. Wrong and right. Do you ever have to teach your child to do wrong? Why is it so easy? for them to do wrong? And why is it so hard to do right? It is hard, isn't it? It's hard. But the fact of the matter is this. There is a battle that goes on. That is why Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the what of the devils? The wiles. He comes at all of us differently. There are some temptations that come to you there on the front row that don't come to me. And vice versa. There are some of you, well, there's nobody on the second row. Man, there's nobody. Oh, that's because we got it taped off. Don't you look forward to where we don't have to tape it off anymore? I mean, aren't you glad that that day's a-coming? Sooner or later. But you that are on the third row, you think there are things that tempt you that don't bother me and vice versa? Absolutely. We can go through everyone in here and there are temptations and you know what they are and don't say it because don't give Satan a hint. Though he probably knows. You know how he knows? Because he's tempted you. And he saw that certain things don't bother you at all. But then he found something that did. Right? He found that thing. And he puts it on the shelf and just leaves it there and never bothers you again with it. No. Can I tell you something? You can offer me butterscotch candy and it won't bother me all day long. Go ahead. Offer it to me. How about Red Hots? Any of you like Red Hots? You can have all of them. I'll give you all mine. How about black licorice? You like black licorice? How many of you like black licorice? Some of you. I don't know why any of you do. My wife likes it. Do you remember you used to get those chuckles? Do you remember those? And they always had the black one in it. I hated that. That meant part of the thing I couldn't eat. But don't offer me good, dark chocolate. Okay? That's my weakness. Don't. Cindy bought me a bag of them a while back. What did I tell you, Cindy? I said, never do that again. That's my weakness. Yeah. Good. Now, you know, some dark chocolate is so bitter, you're just like, ugh. But there's good dark chocolate. Do you have a weakness? Don't tell it. Well, I'm talking about candy, but there are other things that are witness that can do it, right? Satan knows it. Why do you think it says there, resist the devil, and he will what? He will flee from you. Resist. How often will you have to resist? Every day? How about two or three times a day? It could be. All day. Yeah. James was writing to believers just like us. He was writing to people who had problems. Do you have problems? Will you be honest and say, yes, there are things I must battle every day, all day? There's that song that says, I need thee every hour. You know why there is that song that says, I need thee every hour? Because we need him every hour. See, the flesh and the world and Satan wants to bring all of us down. That's their desire. Satan knows he's going to spend eternity in hell. He knows he's going to be thrown into the bottomless pit. He knows that. But you know what he wants to do? Two things. Number one, take as many with him as he can. And then those who have turned their lives over to Jesus Christ and are born-again believers, he wants to make you act like the lost. He wants you to act like the lost. That's what he wants. Warren Wiersbe says, the root cause of every war, internal and external, is rebellion against God. What was, or what is, Lucifer's sin? Pride. Pride. What was Eve's sin? Pride. She wanted something God said she couldn't have. What did Eve say? You're not going to tell me what I can do. You're not going to tell me what I can and can't do. I'm going to take that fruit. Because this serpent has said, when I take it, I'm going to be like God. Isn't that what people today want to say? They're like God? Do you know why the evolutionist wants to believe in evolution? Because he doesn't want to believe there's a God. Even though evolution is a terrible theory, there is no proof of evolution anywhere. There is no proof. Everything they declare is as truth, like dinosaurs becoming birds. Do you believe that? That dinosaurs became birds? Now, well, what logic is that? What logic is that? But yet they want to believe it because they don't want to believe in a God. In fact, there are those scientists like Darwin who wanted to do away with the law of Moses. They wanted to say there's another way. Is that not rebellion? Is that not pride? I don't need God. You know the sad thing in America today is we're saying we don't need God. All we need is science. Science is going to save us. Science will only save us if God wants us to be saved. Okay? Now, he has provided down through the decades all kinds of things that help us physically. Aren't you glad for penicillin? Aren't you glad for medicines that make it so that it can help your blood pressure or your diabetes or your cholesterol? Isn't that a dirty word? How many of you agree that cholesterol is a dirty word? There is no good cholesterol. Well, they say there is. Yes, but I'm glad that there are medicines. God has made it so that man can come up with it. And if he wants, he would do the same with this. But there are those, because of their pride, want to say, there's no God. There's no God. And the battle goes on. We read this last week from Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. The Christian that gets involved in the world does it gradually, a little at a time. The Bible tells us that friendship with the world will lead us in the wrong direction. The results are being spotted by the world. Now, as Christians, Jesus said that you are the light of the world. Correct? Said that in Matthew chapter 5. Well, are we really the light? Or do we reflect the light? We reflect the light. We reflect his light. Just as the moon reflects the light of the sun, correct? The moon does not have any light. How do we know that the moon has no light? Because when the moon is behind the earth and the sun is shining, there is no moon, right? I mean, it's there, but we can't see it. Well, Christians are the light when they reflect the light of the Lord. We can't do that if we're full of mud, correct? If we are dirty, we cannot reflect that. We cannot reflect the Lord, his will. Can I say this to you? That's why we need to come to church and hear the Word of God. That's why during the week we need to read the Word of God. We need to remove the mud and the sin from our lives so that we can reflect the love of the Lord and His grace. We are told not to be conformed to the world. Romans chapter 2, verse 2. That we are not to be conformed. We are not to act like the world. We're not to look like the world. We notice that it says here, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Was that physical adultery? That was spiritual adultery. And the Jewish readers would have known that from reading Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Hosea, where they said that you are spiritually adulterers and adulteresses because you have taken the religions of the world and you've made them yours. Many of the religious practices in that era were simply entertainment. Do you realize that? It was entertainment. Did you realize that a majority of the religions back there had religious prostitutes? That you went to their house of worship for sexual pleasures? Yes. Entertainment. They would see different things that were happening and they were entertained by their religion. Do we have entertainment in our churches today? Yes, we do. We've brought the world's music in. And somehow, bringing it into the church made it right. Well, if it was wrong outside the church, it certainly isn't right inside the church. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, you've taken your eyes off the Lord and you've looked at other things and you put them in front of the Lord. And we've seen that that has happened today. But how can we have victory in our world today? Because we can have spiritual victory. Do you agree? We can have spiritual victory. Number one, we find it in verse 7. We need to submit to God. We need to submit to God. The other day was the election. And I was given my election ballot. Big old thing. And the woman says you can either vote for all Democrat or all Republican. Well, what if I want to vote on both sides? You can't. What would happen if I voted on both sides? It would corrupt the ballot. Well, I want to. I didn't, but I could say that. No, you have to submit, right? You have to submit. Have you ever watched the Indianapolis 500? One lap. How many of you have watched at least one lap of the Indianapolis 500? Yes. Have you ever noticed they all go in the same way? All they ever make is left-hand turns. What if somebody said, well, I want to go the other way? Shouldn't I have the right to go the other way? No, you have to submit, don't you? Yes. Have you ever been on I-75 and somebody was coming at you? Yeah, that's a scary thought. I'm glad he stopped and turned around and went the other way. We have to submit. Why do we have no problem submitting to certain things and other things we struggle with all the time? Submit to God. But that's hard, isn't it? Submit to God. Number two, we need to draw nigh to God because He will draw nigh to us. And the closer we draw to God, the further we're going to be away from sin. Draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. And number three, humble yourselves before God, as it says in verse 9 and 10. Oops. That's the hard one. Okay, I'll submit. And I'll draw nigh to God. But boy, it's hard to be humble. Because we're told in our society, being humble is being weak. But God says that a broken and contrite heart, God will not despise. Humble ourselves to the Lord. Why do some people not want to come to Christ as their Savior? Because they won't humble themselves. Why do some people want to think they can work their way to heaven? It's because they will not humble themselves. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ. It is not through religion. It is not through doing great works. We work because we're saved, not to be saved. We are to humble ourselves. We are to say, Lord, you know best. Humbling yourself says, not my will, thine will be done. You should be glad that I cut out about a third of the sermon. We're going to sing Almost Persuaded. It's amazing how many people have almost been persuaded to come to the Lord. They were willing to submit to him and draw near to him, but they were not willing to humble themselves and ask him for salvation. We ask that the Lord's will be done during this invitation time where you can come and you can pray here at the altar, or you can even pray there in your pew. If you want someone to pray with you, please let it be known. We'd be glad to do it. Dear Heavenly Father, at this invitation time, we ask that your will be done. May the Spirit move. May hearts be touched. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.